public hearing on Senate Bill 13. I will have staff give us a little rundown on the bill.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee, Senate Bill 13 clarifies performance outcome language for local coordinated comprehensive plans for children and families and requires an additional report on the implementation of Senate Bill 555 to the 73rd Legislative Assembly.
Okay, thank you. Now we have Sheila Baker with us today and also Donna Middleton. So I'll invite you up. Your names appear all by their lonesome on our testimony line up here.
And you brought your all of your friends with you way back there in the corner.
Yeah.
Our friends are about as scarce as bills from my committee.
There. Checked
again, we got one more coming finally that we know about.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Sheila Baker with the Legislative Fiscal Office. I'm here today because I helped staff the Joint Legislative Audit Committee's work that led to this bill, and so I am going to present a brief background for you and explain what it does. The lack of massive audience, I hope, is it attributable to the fact that this is not a controversial bill. It's intended to be very straightforward. As a little background, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee this interim did an audit of Oregon's programs for children and families, looking at the local comprehensive planning process that was required by 1999 Senate Bill 555. And I've given you the cover page copy, but also the executive summary of that audit. And I will let you read that at your leisure. If you turn to the back page where it talks about the recommendations, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee made four recommendations for what were termed incremental improvements, understanding that this planning process, which involves local communities as well as state agencies, understanding that that process was still being developed and people were working their ways through it, they recommended some incremental improvements. And the first two bullets under that recommendation section are what this bill attempts to do. That is to modify the existing statute so that the language in the statute matches the language in terms of performance measures and outcomes and benchmarks, matches the language that was actually used by the state and local partners as they were putting together their planning process. The Oregon Progress Board and the state agencies worked with local communities to make sure that there was a common language and a common framework as they were putting their plans together. So the first four sections of Senate Bill 13, basically the first 7.5 pages of the bill, address that, just changing the language to represent what has been in use and what is being used by the local communities and the state agencies. And then the Section 5 of the bill, on page 8 of the bill, the last piece, is to require a report to the next Legislative Assembly on how the process is going. The original legislation, the 1999 Senate Bill 555, required the partners to come to the 2003 legislature and report on that. But as I indicated, we found this was still a work in progress, and we felt that it was important that there be a report to the next Legislative Assembly as well, so that you can get an update of what's going on with this process. So, in summary, that's what the bill does. We tried to make it straightforward. We believe it to be non-controversial. There's no fiscal impact to it. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, Senator Morissette.
Thank you. Were you involved in drawing up the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morissette, I was not involved in developing the performance measures for the individual communities that they put into their plans. The Progress Board and the state agencies and the communities all worked on that. The Legislative Fiscal Office and the Joint Legislative Audit Committee didn't have an involvement in that piece. We were looking at how things were going. We were not involved in actually implementing the legislation.
Okay. Well, as long as I still have the floor, I will ask another question.
Go ahead.
I have been a supporter of using outcome-based performance measures. And I introduced some teeny-weeny pilot projects which didn't fly, but suddenly this whole thing did, which is great. I just think it's a good way to go. But part of the concern was, when I talked to different people, is that it was very difficult to measure human services and quality outcomes and so on, which I don't necessarily agree with. Donna, did you have a...
Yes. Chair Fisher... Senator Morissette, I'm Donna Middleton. I'm the director of the State Commission on Children and Families, and I am here in support of this legislation as well. To your question, Senator Morissette, we have developed a number of outcomes and a number of interim indicators for several high-level benchmarks. One of them is the reduction of juvenile crime. Another one is an early childhood benchmark around ready to learn. Okay. And another one was alcohol and drug prevention using eighth grade use and abuse, and then another one was around recidivism in juvenile crime. So there are measures that you can take in communities that relate to a successful mitigation of some of those high level outcomes, and that's what we will be measuring. So while there might be things in service delivery that is more difficult to measure, mm-hmm. if you do well in sort of mitigating the circumstances of dropouts, you also affect the high-level outcome of juvenile crime. And so we're beginning to track how those things interrelate and how we measure those things. And this legislation helps us in all using the same language and all using the same kind of outcome definition so we can get to a common state measurement.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I need to really look through this and follow this, because oftentimes, you know, people will say what they're doing. They report actions rather than outcomes, and I think it takes both, because we can judge your actions by your outcomes. And so.
Chair Fisher, Senator Morissette, that's exactly right. We're not talking about outputs here, which are the actions that you're talking. We're talking about true, life-changing, progressive outcomes, and that's what we're talking about here.
Good. I think it's wonderful that we've moved, that we're finally doing this, and I know that when I first started talking about this concept in 1999, I had a lot of... Well, first of all, I had very good support from John Yonkers, who was then the head of the department, and Teresa McCune and mm-hmm. Jeff Tryant, and all of those mm-hmm. people were saying, yeah, we really don't do outcomes, we do activities. Mm-hmm. But then there are also those saying that it's not easy to do. And there was a real reluctance to plunge in, and so they did plunge in. We did plunge in, which is good. I think it's, and I really appreciate this. And we will be watching.
Senator Starr?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you mentioned the dropout rate and what might be causal to that. It's long been my contention that if a child is taught to read in kindergarten, first grade, they're less likely to drop out. And so I think there's a very direct causal in that regard, and if they're not learning, it's because they're not taught. And so I'm personally paying some attention to that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Parnell.
Thank you. Sheila, I appreciate your information, and I guess I just want to say something for the record, in that having served for 6 months as a local director for Commission on Children and Families after I left the legislature in 97, I was a supporter of this legislation when it came in place in 93, because I thought it was important to have those decisions made at the local level. I will say that I was just totally overwhelmed with the work, the bureaucracy, the outcomes, the inputs, the outputs, the benchmarks, all of the things in which local organizations are expected to comply with in the way of regulations and bureaucracy. I'm still very troubled at how cumbersome this is. It goes back to what I've said before in other committees. We develop everything to fit a size 7 shoe. Not everybody wears a size 7 shoe. We have small communities, large communities, and medium-sized communities. If we would develop things that fit people in Fossil, Oregon, or Halfway, Oregon, but instead we develop in Salem, in our bureaucratic minds, a process that's very difficult for lay people in communities to implement. It's overwhelming just to read some of the language and the requirements, and I hope you'll keep in mind that there should be an opportunity for small communities to make the decisions on what's good for the children in their communities and not be overburdened with trying to meet state requirements. I'm really troubled by it. Thank you.
Senator Morsa.
I agree to some extent, and maybe I agree fully. It seems to me when we were dealing with this last year in the House, it seems to me that in our committee, Senator Representative Cruz, that didn't we allow some local flexibility in some of these programs?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morsa, that is correct. There is local flexibility with the grant streams that they currently have, so you did allow that. I believe, if I may, Senator Klarna, one of the issues that I believe is correct is when we tried to coordinate four planning processes into one, we had a number of systems that we needed to put together, and it was cumbersome at best. What I will say to you is that the next phase of the planning has no planning but implementation, support, and a much less burdensome impact on local communities. But I do agree that in coordinating four planning processes into one and making sure that all the federal regulations were addressed and all the state requirements, it did come out much more cumbersome than we had intended. And we are beginning to streamline and to focus more on what local communities are needing to help us get the job done at the state level.
Okay. May I follow through?
Yes,
briefly? I think that is absolutely essential. And what I thought I heard you say at the very beginning is that the outcome performance measures were with local conjunction, because I think they have to be local because each local area has a different take on things. And so, but I guess I do agree that we need to have a lot of flexibility at the delivery level.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Chair, if I might further comment, I would say that I think the grant streams, the flexibility there is great. But when you have 36 counties present plans, and how many were accepted, like 5 or 6, and the rest were denied?
Senator Klarna, there were 10 that were accepted.
10 out of 36 counties, mm-hmm. It would be a real big red flag to me that something's wrong. And I just feel like that at the county level, from what I experienced, that the time for staff is spent in filling out forms and requirements from the state level and not delivering services to kids. And that's not the way I envisioned this when I voted for it in 93. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You say there's no fiscal impact here, and yet do you plan on doing all the work for the all of these groups that are required by this law to report? For instance, Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee and Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, and all of this along with with your own report. You do that all yourself?
Mr. Chair, what this bill does is just require those entities to come into the Legislative Assembly and report on what's happening. There are other statutory requirements in terms of reporting within the local comprehensive plans, and those aren't changed in this bill. All this does is add another report to the legislature requirement, and that's why we believe that it's non-fiscal. these representatives of these groups just need to get together, talk, and takes a little bit of time to prepare what they're going to say and how they're going to present it. But it's not a requirement for either a written document or a audit of anything. It's just getting them to making sure that they come back to the 2005 legislature with information.
Further question?
Yes.
Sheila, when you say representatives of these groups, will that mean that the local county level they have to gather information to provide to the state?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carno, there's existing statutory requirements for reporting from the local level to the state agencies, and then the state agencies have a defined role in needing to consider that information as they're working on their issues. So, this bill doesn't address those already statutory requirements.
So it's not asking local, if I might ask another question.
Yes.
It's not asking local commissions on children and families to gather more information.
Mr. Chair, Senator Clano, that's correct.
Okay.
All we're doing is changing some language in terms of the reporting and the performance measures to reflect the language that they're using already to meet existing statutory requirements.
Thank you.
I would have to say that I was a little disturbed myself by the acceptance rate on plans. I believe I wrote a letter to that extent, and I got a rather lengthy letter from Kevin Campbell trying to justify the position they were in, but ultimately I don't think that it was looked upon in any ways near the same manner in the local areas as it was looked upon from the hierarchy that was now where the rubber meets the road. And that does concern me because I don't like to see us put our people that are actually delivering the services on a basis where they're using their time, which is relatively scarce, some of it's volunteer time, that kind of thing, tied up in using reports. We've got a lot of needs in our local areas that those folks need to fulfill. I would much sooner see workable, helpful situations that they perceive are things that they can actually use rather than just the busy work of, quote, doing a class assignment or something. I am rather surprised. The other groups included, and I think we have members of other groups here, and they're not signed up. Does that mean that? Excuse me, Senator Brown, go ahead. I was going to say, does that mean that we have absolutely everybody in agreement out there?
As soon as Senator Brown's through, I'd like to ask if I could introduce some of my folks.
Certainly.
Mr. Chair, I need to ask some questions because of my lack of exposure to the commission and their day-to-day stuff. But, Donna, I guess my question is, Senate Bill 555, that was Senator Bryant's bill calling for the counties to do the comprehensive plans, was it not? Okay. And, Mr. Chair, follow-up. I don't remember what was the criteria for denial or acceptance of those plans. Could you talk about that for a little bit, please?
Yes, Chair Fisher, Senator Brown. There was a number of folks who worked on planning guidelines, the Juvenile Crime Commission folks, the Commission on Children and Families, Department of Human Services, Department of Education. There were a number of partners who worked on guidelines. The criteria was that the guidelines be sent to communities. The communities were given opportunities to respond to the guidelines. They were given opportunities to tell us yay, no, or we don't like this. We amended the guidelines. We brought communities in. We worked on phase two guidelines together with the communities. And then the responses were viewed by the partners as to whether they met the guideline met the guideline criteria. It was not viewed as to whether the plan was a successful plan given what counties want to do. It was only viewed in relationship to the guidelines. And so I think communities took that information and said we were reviewing their plans for their content of what they wanted to do in the community. It was when what we really, our intention was to just review, were they meeting the requirements and the guidelines. And so that communication was not done well. And since that time, we have worked very hard to make sure that people are understanding what the guidelines are and what we're asking folks to do.
Okay. Mr. Chair,
yes.
Could you give me an example of a specific guideline off the top of your head?
Senator Brown, a specific guideline and one that communities, as Senator Carno talked about, got their plans back to do some more work on, was the issue of integrating cultural competency and gender-specific issues into their planning process. In other words, writing about taking into consideration all the populations in their communities that they would serve. A number of communities either didn't put that in or it wasn't exactly something that we could tell was in the plan, and so we sent it back and asked them to do some more work on it. So that would be an example.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, another thought.
I may have missed this discussion earlier, and I'm sorry to be late. This bill is here as a result of recommendations made by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Did you appear in front of that committee and work with that committee to bring this proposal to us?
Senator Brown, yes, I did appear. Along with Sheila, we appeared and testified as a response to the Audit Committee's findings.
Okay, thank you.
If I might follow up on what Senator Brown's pursuit was, you said that 10 out of 36 counties were accepted. Of those 26 that were not, how many of those were east of the mountains?
Oh, Senator Clarnell, I'm not sure of the distribution.
Well, it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, but in talking to some of my local people, it seems to me like most of them were. And that's addressing my point, Donna, is that in many of our communities over there, the staff is not very big. Mm-hmm. Their goal and the people that get involved in the communities obviously are very busy people, and yet they want to do everything they can to help our children and families in our communities. So if we have one size fits all in the way of guidelines and they don't understand the language, and I heard you say that it was a communication problem, and I respect your comments on that and I understand, but this is why so many times people east of the Cascades feel disenfranchised. So they don't understand and they get penalized for it and time again, not just on this issue. Mm-hmm. So I hope that communication and guidelines will be more specific. As a former director and interim director, mm-hmm. I've got to say my goal was to get out and see how our programs work in the communities, how we serve children and families, not sit in there at the computer and comply with government regulations, nor to have to go to meetings every day in which we discuss these issues to see how we can do it right. So mm-hmm. think of that when you're putting guidelines and things together for people, because if they're not able to pass the test, so to speak, they don't understand, how can they make it? So I think we have to be very, very careful. Thank you.
Right.
Yes, Senator.
Thank you. Are these federal guidelines, or are they state guidelines, or are they local guidelines?
Senator Morissette, they're both. They're both
all,
state
okay. I mentioned
and
three.
Yeah. State and federal, and can be some local guidelines as well.
Okay. Are the local people involved in looking at the guidelines?
Chair Fisher, Senator Morse, that they were involved in both phases of the guidelines. That doesn't mean that everybody is still going to be in agreement or that it, or as Senator Clarno says, one size doesn't necessarily fit all. But we have tried very hard to engage communities. It's phase three that we're sending out. Mm-hmm. We have painstakingly sent out information over and over and to get the feedback. And we're actually going to have a state and local work group work on what the phase three implementation plans are going to look like. So they will be intimately at the table from beginning to end so that we have a much better understanding of the process.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator.
I'd like very much to introduce some folks from Deschutes County. They're sitting in various places around the room there, Deschutes County Central Committee Republicans, and I'm awfully happy to have them here today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome. And
I want you to know they're not all going to testify.
We hope you don't go back and tell everybody about how dry our meeting was and judge our work by that. We had a very interesting meeting this morning in Ag and Natural Resources, so it doesn't always go so smoothly.
I think this is very interesting, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Right answer.
Is there anyone that didn't get a chance to sign up that wishes to give testimony? I understand you have an appointment, Sheila. We appreciate you coming, and we'll say thank you for your help here and let you get on to that appointment. We have signed up for a possible work session. Is that the pleasure of the committee? Mm-hmm. Okay, we will close the public hearing and open the work session on Senate Bill 13.
Well, I would move Senate 13 to the floor of the Senate with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Morissette moves that we move Senate Bill 13 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Further questions? Comments? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick? Senator Farno?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Senator Mitchell?
Aye. The bill passes. Do we have a carrier?
I will. Yeah.
All right. Senator Morissette will carry it, and I believe I will leave this off the consent calendar because there may be folks that wish to testify and put things on the record. And having been apprised of the fact that most of the times when a court makes a decision and goes back to the record, they go back to the record on the floor of the Senate and the floor of the House, not the record in the committee. So we want to make this available to put on record if anyone has a statement to make when it's on the Senate floor. Again, I didn't get very much good out of you today, but
I beg your pardon.
As far as time, but you guys haven't put in any bills for us to work on. So I don't know that anybody minds too much, and we will go ahead and adjourn. And I think we have a couple longer sessions coming here very shortly.